It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Thank you for joining me here on another edition of Mind Your Business. And a special shout out, thank you, Armiako, for that new jingle. Yes, exciting here in a new fiscal year 2023. And tonight's show is all about spotting, finding, landing, and how to handle and retain a superstar employee. And I'm going to be joined by none other than Mark Bodner, the CEO of LNR. Yes, we've been treated to a number of shows with Moish here on the set, and tonight's show is going to be really special. And it's such an important topic, especially, right, we know over the last few months how hard it has been for companies to find superstars, land them, and retain them. And that's why we realized we just had to do a show on this. In addition, there was a holding over here. We're going to do a little bit of the Rush Limbaugh thing, right? The Wall Street Journal had this article, The New Workplace, The Best Ways to Manage a Superstar Employee. Hiring a top performer can inspire colleagues to dream bigger and work harder. And there are very few people I know out there who could talk and really nail it on this topic, and that's why we reached out to Moish to join. Just a couple of intro points here. Special thank you to the great listenership of Mind Your Business. Yes, we are once again in the top 10 of New York AM radio, according to the Nielsen ratings. That is a huge, big deal. And of course, on our YouTube channel, when you subscribe, you're automatically notified. You can pick up the interview I had with Beth Comstock, the former vice chair and CMO at General Electric. The interviews we had a few with Joe Hart, the president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. Dale Carnegie services 400 out of the Fortune 500 companies, so that was a big deal. We reached between our various channels over 100,000 people. We have nearly 25,000 people that we reach daily on our business class channel. We have around 25,000 that we reach through the Jewish Home print edition summaries of shows. And of course, we reach nearly 40,000 here on the airwaves on 710 WOR. And how else? How do we reach 100,000? We have 22, 25, 35. Michal, we got to do the numbers here. And of course, yes, on YouTube. There we go. On YouTube, our average shows within 3 months reach around 18 to 20,000 views. So there you go. We reach over 100,000 people, and it's a testament to you. You've come to expect great business content week in and week out. And without further ado, going to our incredible guests. Of course, we have a great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group. You know what? Moish is always talks about gratitude, beginning gratitude. So I'll begin by thanking the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group. In particular, Sruli, Michal, Brocha, Michael, Miriam, Nachi, Malki, Moshe Chaim, and Leah. Yes, it takes a team to be successful. And we begin in gratitude. Moish Bodner, Mark Bodner always discusses that. Mark, welcome back to Mind Your Business.
Nice to see you. It's like, thank you.
Thank you.
So if I could just add something, yes, to that intro.
Yes.
So 100,000 people, I would argue that, I don't like to argue, but I would just add that 100,000 people is probably significantly more. We've talked before about the concept of creating ripples. So you put on a great show and someone goes and speaks to a friend, a colleague, a family member, and mentions something from that show. So is that now 101,000 people? And then they pass that along to another 10 people. So is that now 111,000 people? So exponentially, I would argue that the 100,000 10x is to a million.
Thank you.
It's the 100,000 may be views, but I would say the listeners are probably in the millions. But beauty of it, you create ripples. You don't even know where they're going. But
if we can hold on to that, ripples. You've spoken about that many times. The impact that someone has, that they could have, that they just have no idea how it just affects people.
Every now and then you get to see it. So I'll tell you a quick story. We're having a meal, Friday night meal, and my son, who, by the way, got engaged last
week. Mazel tov.
So shout out to Dovi and Donnie.
Yes.
Um, and the K's were excited, obviously. But we're having a Friday night meal the other week, a couple of weeks back, and my son's there with a bunch of his friends. And I started hearing things coming back at me that I had said to my son a couple of times. You know, it's better to be, would you rather be right or you'd rather be happy? And one of his friends said to another guy at the table, hey, would you rather be right or you'd rather be happy? That's a ripple. And that's a ripple. Sometimes they come back at you and you get to see them every once in a while just to get a little peek at them. But so many times, especially when we're leaders, leaders of families, leaders of businesses, leaders in our community, leaders in our synagogues, and we say something and it has and it makes an impression on someone, and they tend to pass that along. So it's with that mindset, it's exponential. It's pretty powerful. And the medium that you have here and the forum that you have here, take, understand that it's not 100,000 listeners. It may be 100,000 people who view it or listen to it, but it goes way, way beyond that. So
thank you, Mark. Question. Let's jump right into the key topic of tonight's show, and that is landing a superstar employee. How does a company go about it? And across any industry, professional, whether it's employees who are going to be on the front lines, B2C, how does a company go about anything? Is there a process? Is there a mindset? How do you land a superstar team member?
Well, Yuv and I have certainly had this conversation before. I'm going to use a word. You'll look it up later, whether it's actually a real word. Referability. Okay. Are you referable? So step one is, from my perspective, has always been, look at yourself first. Are you a referable person? Are you a referable company? And if the answer to that question is maybe, then the likelihood of you or certainly no, but even if it's maybe, the likelihood of you attracting a superstar employee or the likelihood of you attracting talent, let's call it what it is, ultimately we're looking for talent, is very small. And if you do attract them, the likelihood of retaining them is very small. So first thing we get to work on is whether we're referable. And the best way to be referable is through behavior, through culture, through principles, through leadership. And because in today's world of social media, all the platforms that are out there, LinkedIn, for example, is a big one. And we use it. I use it all the time when I'm looking at people, whether it's for clients, whether it's business partners, whether it's employees. It's all out there. So your company's culture and whether or not you're referable will be a direct tie and correlation to can you track the right talent for your business.
Now, referability, that's a great word right there. Let's hold on to that. L&R is looking to hire great staff. You're in touch with headhunters, and then a name is put before you. You go and you look on LinkedIn. You look like how that person engages, what they like, what people say about them. Maybe you could just walk through like in a practical way.
What I always love when we do have the opportunity to get with a particular candidate, my style is I don't like calling it an interview. I like calling it a conversation. I will usually open up with that in mind, really just to take the edge off, is we're having a conversation and I'm going to get to ask you some questions and you're going to get to ask me some questions, because for it to be a fit, it's a two-way street. We have to be attractive to you, and then your talents and you have to be attractive to us. And what kind of interview would it be, if you would? I really just dislike that word. I mean, it's really such an old word. You really want to have conversations. You want to have real good questions to ask. You have to prepare for it. So you have this conversation with this particular, candidate or this particular person. Let's call it what they are. They're people. Mm-hmm. And coming at them with great questions, but also allowing them to ask questions. I will generally look to hire for a talent. And it may not be specific talent to the job we're looking for, but it may just be that the person has a lot of talent. And one of the ways you can tell, and one of the reasons why I tend to use this style, is I love to see how prepared they come. What kind of questions will they have? And what I found, and there's a direct correlation to talent, mindset, culture, their culture, in how they prepared for the interview. There's a famous concept that you and I both know, and I've actually turned it, and when I speak to people who are going on interviews, just they'll ask me some advice, I'll always say, you want to hit it out of the park on an interview? Walk into the interview and ask the following question at the right time. You know, I was doing research on your company, and you know, I noticed a couple of things about your business, whatever the business is, do your research on it. And I have a couple of ideas that I think could really help. Would you be interested in understanding what those ideas, what those things that I found are? And generally, the answer will be, yeah. And what you've actually done is you flipped the interview. You became the interviewer, and the company became the interviewee. Because now you're getting to speak about something that they're interested in. So it's really the preparation for the interview, the questions that you come with. And I've had some of the best hires that I've made have been, I don't know if they were necessarily the most talented person that I interviewed or had the most experience, but they had the best questions about the business. And that showed curiosity. And I'm a big believer in curiosity, because when someone's curious, they have a mindset of asking questions. So it's those things are all connected, and those are what I call connectors. So generally, I like to have just conversations. Now, in terms of finding, I'll ask the question, how do you find the people? So obviously, if I'm hiring for an executive, a senior leadership position that's going through a recruiting firm, and there's a full scorecard built out on it, and obviously job descriptions for everything, and multiple people interviewing. Once we get past that level, generally, the best source of talent is people's Rolodexes. Am I allowed to say that word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those that know what it is.
So a person's Rolodex is, you know, if you have someone on your team and they've come from another business, and they have we have to hire an N-2 or an N-3, and okay, who do you got? And so first of all, it goes back to my first point, right? Am I referable? So are they willing, are my existing employees willing to bring people in from their network, people who they know, to come work for this company? Or are they hesitant? Clearly, if they're hesitant, it does not say great things about your business. If they're willing to, the fact that they're going to go and help you recruit the talent is great. You also get to really understand who the person is before they walk through the door for the interview. And I say through the door for the interview, now that we're past some of the restrictions and the COVIDs and all those pandemics. And I love being face-to-face with people. And I love being face-to-face with people, especially when we're looking to bring on talent. So you can't read body language over a screen. It's really, really difficult. So, I mean, those are some of the things we do and some of the things I find very, very useful.
Incredible. By the way, before we go to a commercial break, just to give some perspective of the guest for those that are not familiar, LNR is a national distributor of over 40,000 general merchandise and cosmetic products. They have 4 locations nationwide and with over 1,000 employees. So just for those that there's a little bit of perspective here. We're going to go to a short commercial break. When we come back, more with Mark Bodner here on 710 WOR. We'll be right back.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and helicopter charters, 24/6 dispatch center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Isaac Saftless right here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. Thank you for joining me. Tonight's show, where I'm joined by Mark Bodner, CEO of L&R Distributors. And we are talking about how to spot, how does a company spot and land and retain a superstar employee? In case you just tuned in, no worries. This entire episode will be up in a couple of days. Because even in the first segment, Mark Bodner shared some key aspects on how to really keep your eye out for talent. And Mark, I'm just going to pick up where we left off right before the break. This is more of a technical question, but you know, I'm sure you have an opinion on it. Is there any type of guide map for the amount of times you should be meeting with someone? Do you, like, for example, is it one time? Is it four times? Is there a length of time you want to let it percolate? Is it over 30 days or maybe as short as a week? Is there a time frame, a time span, and the amount of times you need to meet someone face-to-face in order to get a really good sense before you ink the deal with a superstar?
So it's an excellent question. And I don't know, there's two aspects to it really. There's amount of time, and then there's like who. So generally for a important hire, and so what's an, every hire is an important hire. But for an important hire in a leadership role or a manager role, we never leave it to one person, ever. It's a multiple person process. Sometimes we'll double team. And not double team to come overburdening, because depending on the position, I don't want to put the person through 5, 6, 7 interviews, but I may want 5, 6, 7 people to meet them. And generally, when that happens, there'll be there's one of the people. If there's a more than one person interviewing, one of the persons really is there, to have that conversation, and the other person is more to listen, and then chime in every now and then. But generally, if it's an important hire, I certainly want our HR team involved. I certainly want someone with expertise in that particular area. So if it's a sales role, someone from the sales team. If it's an operations role, someone from operations getting involved. And depending on how important that role, I may actually interview as well. So it can be sometimes 3, 4, 5 different conversations with people, and everyone has their own style of interviewing, and And, you know, we've worked with consulting firms and the best methods to interview, most of which I don't use because I like to do it my own way, which is more of a conversational style. But that's great for me, but doesn't necessarily work for everyone else. And everyone has to do what works for them. But it will go through a pretty rigorous process, you know, in terms of number of people and also depending on how important the hire is. From a length of time, my opinion on that is to be short and sweet, 45 minutes, max hour is more than enough time, unless there's some competency issues and questions or some kind of a competency test that has to be given because there are skill sets needed for the position, then it can go a little bit longer. But generally, I would keep it on the relatively short side, and I'd rather go, you know, what I would call deep and wide, rather than just go for a long, drawn-out conversation.
Now, if you're meeting with them over, let's say, do you have it that you'll also meet, let's say, 2, 3, or 4 separate occasions? And if you do, do you sometimes take it in a different environment, like you'll do one at the office, one in a restaurant? Is there any type of...
No, generally, I will meet with a candidate once. Hand it off. We use a scorecard. Okay. After an interview, we all fill out a scorecard. Each position has its own scorecard that we're scorecarding for, you know, and which we would actually answer these questions and rate them on a scale usually of 1 to 5. And at the end of the process, the scorecards get collected, and it's interesting how people can score very, very differently in different areas. And when it's a role around competence in a specific area, the subject matter expert's going to focus in on that area mm-hmm. most. Mm-hmm. I generally will focus mostly into the culture aspects. Very, very dependent on how many questions come back at me. That's like my one of my most important criteria. How curious is this person? How much research do they do ahead of time? How much do they know about my business? It's so easy. There's no excuse today for anyone to walk into an interview not being 110% prepared, knowing the history of the business, knowing what the business does, knowing what the role they're being interviewed for. Every candidate gets a full job description, etc. So there's a ton of information out there. Do your homework.
So would you, I'm just going to ask it straight up, would you say it's fair to say that if someone's very qualified, very talented, but they show up and don't know a thing about your business, they're like, they made the impression they don't give a hoot. They really...
Zero. Wow. That's a zero. You can teach things. I can't teach curiosity. I can't teach someone to be curious, to be interested. I can't teach that. They can be great accountants, but I can't teach them. You can't get places. You can't learn the culture of a business. You can't learn how to interact unless you have a curious mindset. That's how I believe that. That's how our culture is built. And, you know, if it's like trust, right? Trust, there are two sides of trust. There's a competency side of trust. Do I trust this person can get this done? And then, you know, there's the honesty side of trust. You know, is this person trustworthy? And if in my head, when someone is not, knows nothing about your business walking into an interview, but they're really competent at that job, they have only one side. So, you know, you could teach for competency. You know, it's kind of like the NFL draft. Many times you'll see a team pick a player for a position that they're pretty deep in. So why are they picking that player? Because it's the best player available. So sometimes you're hiring for talent. You're hiring for, you're not necessarily always hiring for skill set.
Now if we could talk about kind of EQ versus IQ and some of the important basics that unfortunately a lot of people fail at or are just very weak at. And forgive me for asking straight, you know, how important is it for someone to show up on time? The clothes they wear, some of the, what we call basics, but I'm sure you probably have some crazy stories of people just like, hello.
Well, you know, things have changed. So I was at an executive conference for CEOs just a few weeks ago. And one of these experts got up there and he must have been looking at a deck he had prepared probably 6 months ago. And one of the things he spoke about was reverse mentorship, right? Does that puzzle you? Reverse mentorship, that's the concept, like reverse mentorship.
Okay.
And right, what he meant by that was us as leaders, right? We came up in a different time, right? People in our, we won't give away our age.
Okay.
Because I know you're very sensitive about that. Me personally, I'm not, but since we're about the same age, but I won't give away my age either. But generally, we are, you know, we came up in a different world where we put our time in and we started at the bottom and we scraped our way to the top, right? And that doesn't work so much anymore. That's an EQ as a leader that we have to have. I heard this concept of reverse mentorship, and that's taking it to another level where the Gen Z or the millennial that you're bringing in to hire should be mentoring you on how to work well with them. Now, I looked at this gentleman as if he had three heads. I was, really? Okay, that's taking it to an extreme. However, that being said, I like going to those extremes for a second, for us to be emotionally intelligent leaders today, right, we should understand and should, you know, that we are hiring a different generation, and the things that are important to them, we never considered. The work-life balance concept, the hybrid workplace that we grow up in today, whether we like it or not, it's here. And as leaders, we have to adapt to that, and we have to have a very, very high emotional intelligence to work with people coming into the workforce today. It's just different.
Mark Bodner, CEO of L&R Distributors. L&R has locations throughout the United States. I appreciate Mark. I've actually been honored to walk the floors of all the locations. Pretty incredible. They service many, if not all, or certainly most of the major B2C retailers throughout the United States. And tonight's topic is all about, how do you spot a superstar employee? How do you land them for your company, and how do you retain them? We'll be back with Mark right after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saplis right here on 710 WOR. And tonight's show is all about, how can your company land superstar employees, and how do you retain them? And we're joined, we're treated to Mark Bodner, CEO of L&R Distributors. L&R services many of the leading retailers nationwide. They have 4 locations throughout the United States. And therefore, we said, if we're going to talk, we're going to have a show about landing superstar employees. I have a close friend who knows a thing or two about this. And we were also, an additional point of stimulation was, we'll do the Rush Limbaugh thing. The Wall Street Journal had a special section a number of weeks ago, the best ways to manage a superstar employee. And they had pages upon pages. And we said, forget this. We're calling Mark Bodner. We're going to have him come in studio. And we appreciated you worked out the schedule, worked out the time. In the first two segments of tonight's show, we really tackled like how to land a superstar employee. And by the way, for the people out there that are looking for the dream job, listening to this show will give you a leg up. Yeah, there are a number of secrets that he shared. We're not going to re-repeat them now because we have so much to cover, and you could always go and watch it on YouTube. This will be up in short time. If you follow us, we're on YouTube. We're at 710WR, Mind Your Business. If you click on subscribe and turn on notifications, you'll automatically be notified when this show goes live on YouTube. Well, Mark, we discussed many different aspects about how someone should position themselves to land their dream job. And of course, how companies, what they should be looking out for in landing a superstar employee. Now let's go to, great, the deal is inked. They signed on. Kind of walk us through what are some of the important aspects and even some of the failures of many companies out there in during the onboarding process, those first precious 30, 60, 90 days, talk about training, talk about how to bring them on in a way that the relationship will really last.
So you hit it right there. You just answered your question. It's about onboarding. Step one is onboarding. And what does your onboarding process look like? I don't know what ours looks like, but I know it's really good.
Wait a second. There's a lot of people tuned in. Oh, but you know it's really good.
Right? I know it's really
good. Well, you got Jonathan heading.
Yes. JB is just tremendous. He's our HR leader in the business. And I know it's amazing. And I always like, you know, I have this little acronym I use called AEBs, which stands for As Evidenced By. So as evidenced by the people who we've brought on, and they one after the next, and we're bringing on people who worked for some major national businesses, large businesses, who have told me that they have never had an onboarding process at any company like they've had at L&R. And I like to understand. So tell me about it. Like, you actually give us a chance to get grounded. You give us a chance to learn how things work. You've got great training videos. You've got great content about the business. You give us that opportunity to take that all in. We have a process where every manager, supervisor role has a one-on-one, at least 15-minute to a half-hour meeting with every senior leader of the business, which is, I think, an absolute brilliant idea. So I was a little faux pas there. I do know what the onboarding process, a little bit about it is, because I ask them what's so good about it, and this is what they describe back to me, what's so good about it. So they get to meet, you know, people who they're going to be working with, and also people that necessarily won't be working with on an everyday process. But what that gives them, it gives them the vision, right? So they get getting the vision of the business, of what the business wants to accomplish, what we're trying to get to, what's the business's milestones and goals as we go forward. And, you know, clarity of vision is the number one probably ingredient, if you would, to having a successful team. Because when people know where they're going, what the destination is, they're more likely to be a part of that journey. So that great onboarding process is really important. And the onboarding process is, you know, there's a lot of regulatory items that we have to go through, harassment training and things of that nature. That's hours and hours of video watching and quizzes. And we generally allow that person to do that before they even start if they want to, give them that opportunity. But they don't walk in day one and are handed a computer and say, go. And I think that's a big deal. So it starts, I think, with that great onboarding process. From a retention standpoint, obviously a fair day's wage for a fair day's work. I think, you know, I know you're going to laugh. I'll say it anyway. I don't like to live in the land of make-believe. Right? You know the line, right?
I love it. Let's play make-believe.
I'm going to make-believe I pay you, and you make-believe you work. And, you know, what can I get this person for? If that's the mindset that you have, what can I get them for? Then that's probably not a good retention plan. That's the plan, you know, what is the market call for this particular job in this particular size business? And we do a lot of studies around, you know, we're in so many markets and we're hiring in so many markets. What is the fair pay for this particular position? And we don't fool ourselves and say, well, can we get it for less money? Can we get, when you have that, can we get it for? It's really not a bargaining world out there anymore. Great talent, if you want okay talent, okay talent is going to get you at best okay work. Great talent will get you at least good work and sometimes even great work. And there's a price to pay for that. And, you know, you can do a lot more with a lot less. So pay is very important. Let's call it. And then there's really that culture, which is why, as I said earlier, that mindset of curiosity is one of the most important things to me, because when someone's curious, they're more likely to come into a business. Hopefully we have a business that allows people, that gives them the permission to challenge the status quo. The more curious people are, the more chance that they're going to, and bring some of that wisdom that they have. You have your institutional knowledge. Mm-hmm. When you have your knowledge coming into a business now, and when you blend those two things together, it could be very powerful or it could be very toxic. So that's why that culture piece really comes in to be really important.
That is just an interesting question because of the multiple locations that you have throughout the United States. If, let's say, you're looking for talent for your plant in Reno, and they find, or you even have a star in Arkansas who fits that role, could you please provide some perspective on either relocation, or is it better just to hire anew, or if you have someone on the team who you know would be great to run a different plant, perhaps you could provide some perspective.
There was nothing more satisfying, gratifying than being able to hire from within, to promote from within. There is nothing better. You've developed someone and they've got great talent. I think it's an obligation. It's an obligation for you as a leader, for you as a business, to show your employees a career path. It's then their choice whether to do what it takes to go on that journey, on that career path. And you know of people in my business, you've been close to my business now for a while, that have come from, you know, very entry-level positions that are now in director and VP-level positions.
Yeah. And humble beginnings.
Really. I mean, myself included. So, you know, I came from very humble beginnings and I started, you know, but it's a choice. Being great is a choice. So the people who choose to be great, we have an obligation to have a career path. And when we don't have that career path for them, and sometimes we don't, and it's sad and unfortunate, when that time comes for that person and that person needs to move on and I don't have that position for them to grow into, I'm the first one congratulating them. I'm their biggest cheerleader. I say, please have your new boss call me and let me tell them how great you are and how lucky they are that they're getting you. You know, I don't have that position for you. And we let them go. It's not easy. It's not. So retention sometimes means letting people go as well if you don't have that career path for them. So we've had great success in creating career paths for existing talent. And we've also had instances where we had to part ways with some really talented individuals, because what right do I have to hold them back for my own selfish reasons? And ultimately, that really will hurt you. So let them go and bring someone else in with that great process that you have built and elevate them.
Before we go to the break, another one of your great quips, quotes, going to or going from? Could you, which you just spoke about, but I just like you explain that for the audience.
I use a more, freedom to or freedom from. And, you know, do I want the freedom to, or do I want to be going to, or do I want the freedom from, or going from? And I think that applies here as well, because when you don't have a particular career path, or you may have a career path, but the job is taken, or you have two people who are vying for that position, and one is more qualified for whatever reason, but they're both great, you can only fill that position with one person. So you got to give that person, you know, that let them go. They deserve to be happy. And if I can't make them happy, that's fine. And guess what? People see that. People see how you move on from people. And when you move on with them in the right way and you congratulate them and you make them a little party on the way out, and it's not, you know, in any way, shape or form, you know, pack up your bags and leave. It's there's a transition time, and there's that. It's just such a powerful, it's a powerful visual to the rest of your team to be able to see that.
My guest is Mark Bodner, and tonight's show is all about how to land a superstar employee and retain them. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Powerful people, famous names, impactful content.
Leaders who are able to engage their teams more effectively, who are demonstrating a level of understanding and empathy. It doesn't mean we're not going to hold people accountable. We have to hold people accountable for results. And at the same time, there's a great quote, which is, I don't care what you know until I know that you care.
The clip you just heard is from the CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joe Hart. For more fantastic business advice, follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and Helicopter Charters, 24/6 Dispatch Center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
And we're back for the home stretch of tonight's show together with Mark Bodner here at Z6 Atlas on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. And tonight's show is all about hiring superstar employees, how to find them, how to land them, and how to retain them. And we're delighted that Mark Bodner is able to join us once again. He is the CEO of L&R Distributors. They service the primary retailers throughout America, four locations nationwide, over 1,000 employees. And therefore, when we realized we needed to do a full show on this very important subject, we said, you know what, we're going to reach out to Mark Bodner. And sure enough, he carved out a little bit of time out of his crazy hectic schedule. Thank you, Mark, for joining me here once again on Mind Your Business. In the last section of the show, let's get to some of the, again, delicate stuff, but how does a company go about measuring performance? And if they see that someone is underperforming, how do they get them to try? Now, of course, at some point, like we discussed before the break, sometimes the right thing is to part ways. Life moves on. But how does a company know that maybe there's just an issue they need to address? They really could perform better, but there's something that needs to be addressed. And at one point, does a company say, all right, you know, I think it is time to part ways? Delicate stuff.
Yeah, it's delicate stuff, but it's life. It's what we do. So it's actually more complicated, I think. Earlier we talked about sometimes great performers, superstars, you need to part ways with, because as a business, as leaders, both for the benefit of the business and the benefit of the particular employee, when there is no upward mobility, it is good and it's healthy for both parties to move on. In terms of underperformers, you know, companies are loaded with, I always say, a company needs, and this is my own math, don't hold me to it, a company needs 80% of really good people and about 20% of great people. And that could be 90-10, use whichever numbers you want, but not everyone is going to be great. But there's a lot of work to get done, and it takes good people. What does good mean? Good means they're on time. Good means, you know, they do what they're supposed to do. They're competent at what they're doing, and they're good. So when someone is not good, what does that mean, right? It means they're not on time. It means they can't get done what needs to get done, right? Or we may have made, you know, a poor hire, may have made a poor decision. They may have made a poor decision. They may have thought they were walking into something completely different. So first and foremost is transparency. It's to have real transparent conversations. I always believe in looking at yourself first. Am I providing this person with the tools that they need to be successful doing this job? And if the answer to that question is no, then how do I expect them to perform well? And, you know, even a business like ours that's been around for so long, and we've been doing things the same way for such a long time, as the workforce changes and they come in, and our ERP system is a little bit older, and they may have difficulty adjusting to that. They didn't see the ERP system on the interview. Some of our processes may not be as modern as what they were used to in the prior place that they worked. So it's not always a great fit, and sometimes people can adapt and sometimes people cannot adapt. So the question is, have I provided the training? Ask yourself the questions first. If you look at it from that lens and look at myself, the company, that particular manager, supervisor, are we providing them with the tools that they need to be successful? Mm-hmm. If the answer to that question is no, then how can we provide them with the tools if we can? And if we have, and the output is still not there, the productivity is not there, the quality of work is not there, then in all likelihood, the person knows already before you say it. In all likelihood, the person is unhappy already. Because if I were to ask you the question, let's call a person Joe. Mm-hmm. So Joe wakes up in the morning and Joe says to himself, you know, I think I'm going to do a really bad job today. I think I'll probably, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to really mess up. I want to get it all wrong. It's probably what Joe does, right? Now, Joe wakes up every morning wanting to do a great job.
Of course.
Right? Because people don't, right? People want to be successful,
right?
Feel successful.
Right.
Then Joe comes into your office, your workplace, remote, not remote, hybrid, whatever it is, and Joe is failing. How does Joe feel? Does Joe feel successful? Probably not. If we can't get Joe up to speed, and we can't give Joe the tools, or Joe's just not getting it, we owe that very transparent conversation. We owe him, what can we do to help you get there? And if we can, let's do it. And it doesn't mean Joe's going to be great. It doesn't mean Joe's going places in your business. But we owe it to Joe. Joe has a family to support, in all likelihood. And Joe needs to be employed. Now, if it doesn't work out, then you owe it to you, Joe, because Joe deserves to be happy, and you owe it to the business because the business deserves to be happy. if it's not working out, to let Joe go. Rather than the flip side of that is complaining. Joe screwed up again. Joe messed up again. I told you Joe is no good. What is that doing? So that's what we call confirmation bias. Right? I've got my opinion in my head of Joe, and I can't wait to find things to prove myself right that Joe is no good. That is so counterproductive. Right? If I build in that bias and then I confirm it constantly, so that makes me feel good for about 15 seconds. The bottom line is Joe's not getting it done. So flip that on us. What can we do better? And sometimes what you can do better is letting Joe go.
What's so special about the way you address this is that a person always has to, you know, do self-evaluation and be really honest about it. Meaning, if let's say the individual is underperforming, they're coming late, they're making errors, they're sloppy, whatever the case is, what can I do better, change the scenario to give this a real shot, as opposed to just going nuclear on the person?
I'll give you a real example. Just hit me now. It happened a couple of weeks ago. Really important employee, and the person went through a recent divorce, 4 children, completely 100% remote worker. So very difficult sometimes to, you know, measure productivity, and it may take some time. And showing up late to meetings, having to cut meetings short, and the bottom line is, he had 4 kids, and his wife that he just got divorced from moved away, wanted nothing to do with the kids. So the person's going through a really difficult time, and we approach like, how can we help you? What could we do? Could maybe change your hours, because you're really good. We really like you, but clearly this is not working for you, and it's not working for us. So how can we, is there anything we can do? Long story short, 3 weeks after that, he resigned. And he said, and we didn't let him go. He let himself go because he understood that I'm just not getting it done. And this company's trying to work with me, and I'm still not able to get it done. And he resigned using those exact words, almost apologetically. That's not to say that that's what we want. We tried to work with this individual, and he just couldn't make it work for what he was going through in his life. You know, life happens sometimes. And now his family and taking care of his 4 children trumps, you know, work. So he resigned.
Mark, the time flies when we're on the set with you, and I certainly hope you'll join again soon, because we have so much to still talk about in a variety of for many other subjects that we like discussing with you. But just before I let you go, what's your take on employee evaluations? Or I know it's not fair to tell you, okay, we got to cover this in 2-3 minutes, but to the best of your ability, to talk about evaluation and getting a really good sense if the person is a superstar now that you have them 30, 60, 90 days, 6 months. How do you measure what if they're up to snuff?
So employee evaluations is really important. There's such a thing as over-evaluating as well. And employee evaluations do not need to wait for that yearly or every 6-month evaluation. There is nothing wrong. There is everything right with telling someone who's doing a great job that you're doing a great job. That before you were here, it was much more complicated. Now that you've come on board, things have gotten so much better. And, you know, as evidenced by, you know, example. Usually the answer to that will be, thank you so much for sharing that. That makes me feel so good. People are afraid to do that. Employers are afraid to do that. They're going to probably ask for more money tomorrow, or they're going to want a big bonus, or okay. There's nothing wrong with telling people that they're doing an amazing job and you think that they're a superstar. Just transparency is so important. And it's not just, you know, if it's got to be real. I do it all the time. And I just, like, out of the blue, I'll make a phone call and say, you know, David, you are doing an amazing job. Every KPI that we measure since you've come on board has improved. Keep it up. You're doing amazing. That sometimes takes people for a loop, that you can actually be that just bluntly honest. And you got, because if you're willing to do that, you could also be willing to do, David, when we brought you on board, you know, things were going pretty well. Here's a few areas that have gone south since, you know, because when they feel it's going to come on both sides, and it's not always negative.
No, then they're willing to listen and accept. They realize it's honest.
I myself ask for feedback, and people, you know, speak to me, give me my feedback. How am I doing? You know, you've worked. I have people come in from other businesses, like, you've worked with other CEOs. How am I different?
Fascinating.
Just tell me. I'd love to know. What do I do well? What can I do better?
Man, the time flies. We're out of time. But an incredible show. A special thank you to Mark Bodner, CEO of L&R. Tonight's show was all about, and he really hit the nail on the head and discussed the many aspects about finding a superstar employee, landing them, and retaining them. Well, this wraps up an incredible edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.